it's going to be a low energy show tonight. I tell you what.
Oh, really? I'm like amped up because like that two Rockets game. Holy shit. I could sit here playing that for 6 hours in a row.
Oh, could you really now?
I mean, would you put up 150? You're like on the all time top leaderboard, huh?
Yeah, I don't know how reliable that leaderboard is, though, because I got onto that way too easy. I put up 144.
I'm pretty sure I can beat that, maybe. I'm not pretty sure. I keep getting reliably in the 80s, and that's about where I'm losing the thread a bit, but I think I could do it.
Yeah, I think it's not super hard once you really dial in.
Okay, I'm looking at your things. I'm trying to pick in my head ahead of time which we should talk about.
Well, I tell you what, you can't do Meet the Deedles 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, did I do Meet the Deedles last time?
I don't think it was an official term that we went over last time, but we certainly
talked. Are you sure? Because I just talked. Was that not? Okay, I'll take it out. I totally forget if that was.
I can just pull up Descript and search through the transcript of last week.
That is magic.
Let's see.
Meet the Deedles must be more like part of the fabric of my being than I realized.
Yeah, because you mentioned it was the one cassette that you own the soundtrack to.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? Maybe I went one day too far in my search history.
Probably.
Because usually I just do a, you know, between this day and this day. That's probably what happened. I probably don't really have deep psychological roots tied to Meet the Deedles, the movie.
Yeah, most likely not. It's possible.
I could. Could be a weird sex thing for me. You never know. That's how these things happen. It's episode 3 and we're already there.
This is Idle Curiosities, a search-driven podcast by Seth Reinecke and Jason Hellman. Music by Yuri Beats. We just restarted Gilmore Girls.
Oh, I've seen, like, I feel like I've seen all of Gilmore Girls just from the amount my wife has watched Gilmore Girls. So, like, I know the, like, beats of Gilmore Girls, which is coffee. I like it. Luke, he's a cutie. The girl who's very uptight and I identify with a lot that is always worried about getting into college. She's good. And then the mean rich grandparents.
Yeah, no, you got it.
Is there anything else to the show?
I mean, no, that's the broad strokes of it.
Oh, also Man from Heroes, the TV show, which wasn't good, but that I watched every second of, is a boyfriend at one point.
Wait, really? Which character from Heroes?
Nathan, I think.
I never watched
the one. Oh, he's basically like, do you know X-Men at all?
Yeah, yeah.
He's like Rogue, basically, where like he takes powers from other people. He's that guy. And he's also, I believe, young Gilmore's beau at some point.
I am searching through his wiki page right now.
It might not be Nathan. Nathan Petrelli? Or Nathan might be the older brother. Maybe it was Peter Petrelli. Look, Peter Petrelli.
List of Heroes characters.
Peter Petrelli actor. There's your query.
God, there were way too many.
Yeah, there's a lot. That show got so bad so fast.
Hey, there we go. Milo Ventimiglia.
That sounds right.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah, not one of Rory's better boyfriends.
I think it's literally the only one I could name, but again, never watched. I don't think I've ever watched a full episode of the show.
See, the big thing that all the fans will agree about, well, almost all the fans will agree about, is that Rory never had a good boyfriend.
Tell me more. Why not?
Because they're all shithead douchebags who live on the East Coast and think that they're meant to be something in the world.
I don't know anybody like that.
Except for the one who feels like he isn't meant to be something in the world, and he just cheats on his wife with Rory, which, you know, that doesn't make us feel good about any character in the show, so.
No, that all sounds terrible, and I'm questioning, how many times have you seen the show?
Only all the way through once, but I've also extensively listened to a podcast about it.
I've done that, where I find a podcast or podcast person that I really like, and they're doing a podcast about a show that is, by all accounts, not something I should be watching. Looking at you, Rose Buddies, and watching The Bachelor. But, you know, I only watched like 4 or 5 seasons of The Bachelor before I was like, no, this is objectively bad.
Well, as you know, I'm a huge fan of Kevin T. Porter, who does Good Christian Fun.
Yes, I do know that.
His show prior to Good Christian Fun was Gilmore Guys with Demi Adjuyibe.
I was literally downstairs right before recording talking to my brother-in-law about Demi. And have you heard the Succession, his song?
Yeah, that kind of ruined the Succession theme for me. It's such a great theme, though.
It's the funniest shit I've ever heard. Oh, anyway, Demi's good. We should be funny like him.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I want to know about something you Googled recently. It is the query, quotation mark, and you, comma, you're always right, close quotation mark. Because usually I can look through these and be like, I think I know where a lot of this is going. Nope, not this time.
So I was out on a walk with Mel the other day, and at one point I was just like, yeah, no, you're right. And when you're right, you're right. And you're always right. Which I knew I recognized as a reference to something, but I could not figure out what. It's from Spaceballs.
Oh, Mel Brooks does a movie about what if Star Wars but funny. And dick jokes. What if Star Wars but dick jokes?
Mostly, yeah.
Who is the character? I've seen Spaceballs. I mean, like, I grew up with a Jewish father of a certain age, so it was law that you had to watch every Mel Brooks movie. So I've seen Spaceballs more than a few times. I have no recollection of this.
So that is Lone Star talking to Barf. Or vice versa?
Okay. Is it Barf that says it? John Candy, yeah. Who famously plays Barf, aka Chewbacca, but not Chewbacca?
Yeah, I think it was Barf that said it.
I don't... What's the context? Is it just
I don't know.
One of these like movie things that gets like stuck in your brain, and you hear a phrase and it just like plays in an endless loop forever and ever anytime you hear something like even mildly related to it?
Yeah, this is just one of those things, like whenever I end up saying, oh, you're right, I want to immediately follow it up every time with, and when you're right, you're right, and you're always right.
It is fun to say, like it's almost like a nursery rhyme. It's just like kind of fun to say it a lot.
Yeah, it just goes.
We're in the end times, and you can tell by the amount of alcohol sitting on my countertop right now, because we just did a trip to Delaware again. I think we talked about this our first episode, but yeah, we took another trip across the border to Delaware and loaded our entire car full of bourbon and wine, and now it's fun times in our house.
Wonderful. That's what you want. That's what you want.
I mean, when you can't do anything else, yeah, this is pretty much what we're going to do every night.
I just impulse bought some chocolate bitters, so I need to figure out what I'm going to use those for.
Ooh. I've only ever used, I think, like regular ass Angostura bitters and orange bitters, because all other bitters scare me in a way that they probably shouldn't. But what cocktail calls for chocolate bitters?
So I've heard anything with whiskey or rum, you can throw chocolate in pretty safely.
I want to hear like a follow up. I used chocolate bitters in this and it did not taste gross.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try a version of like a Dark and Stormy.
Oh, I like it. Do you make Dark and Stormy with spiced rum, or I don't know what unspiced rum is called? Rum?
You're supposed to use dark rum, but all I have is spiced rum, so.
I threw up a lot of spiced rum in college and now I cannot drink any of it. So I'm going to have to rely on you for whether or not that's good, because I don't think I can ever drink spiced rum again. Maybe just Captain Morgan's, but it's probably all spiced rum.
Yeah, no, maybe I'll use Jamaican rum instead. I don't know if that's gonna... I'll try it.
Cut all these jokes out. They suck.
I love how we kick off this podcast by going, oh yeah, let's be funny like Demi.
Let's be funny, and then... But what if we weren't funny? Would that be a good show?
What? Yeah, no. So anyway, I guess to move us forward, I'm going to ask you about the OXO coffee maker.
Oh, let me tell you. Gather around, children, and let me tell you about the coffee miracle that occurred in my household recently. So as we mentioned, we're in end times and we are in Corona lockdown. My sister and brother-in-law have came down to stay with us from New York City a little over 3 weeks ago at this point, which before that they did like a 2-week quarantine. And we were going through lots of coffee in this house and had a single cup Keurig machine that we got for our wedding in 2012. And like basically collectively we decided this sucks. Like we shouldn't be making we shouldn't be using this much plastic every single day for 4 people to drink coffee. So we did what you do. We like researched something we got on Wirecutter and figured out which coffee maker to buy. And it was this very pretty OXO coffee maker that I am in love with right now. And I ordered it and it was, because we are in quarantine times, 10 days from like the day I order it to estimated delivery date. So the next day I go downstairs and my brother-in-law, who is the like most prolific coffee drinker, probably drinks 4 plus cups of coffee a day, just like looks at me as I come down the stairs. He's like, coffee machine's broken. And I was like, shit, like we're going to have to go 10 days in this house, possibly without coffee. We have like an old French press that I guess could have worked, but we didn't have any just like loose coffee. So I thought we were all going to kill each other. And then my phone buzzed in my pocket within the hour and it is my delivery app. And it says your OXO coffee maker is out for delivery. And it was like a little coffee Hanukkah miracle that we had.
I love it. So just so we're clear, you said you went to Wirecutter. Did you get that top pick, that the 9 cup?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we decided to split it between me, my wife, my sister, my brother-in-law. We all split it for 2 ways, really.
So I've looked at that one, but I've always gone for what I think is their budget pick, just because the budget pick is so cheap.
Yeah, I don't know what the budget pick is, and in my adult life, I've only really ever had AeroPress coffee or like whatever coffee machine the office I was working at used. What is their budget pick? What is that? What's that situation?
Well, I'm looking now and it's not even their budget pick anymore. It must have been a former budget pick, but just like this little $25 drip coffee maker that is completely fine. You know, it's one of those things where like it's never going to blow you away. But also, if you're not
right
picky, it's perfect.
Well, let me tell you about the little things about this OXO 9 cup coffee maker that really kind of brought joy into our lives in these dark times. So the first thing we noticed is that there's no heated base.
Oh,
it's a like double wall carafe that's just like super duper insulated. So we have a 3-year-old in our house and having a very hot surface that doesn't look like it's hot wasn't great. And honestly, like we didn't really consider it when we bought it, but like when I took it out of the package, I was like, oh, it's just like nothing to heat stuff up with. It's just kind of goes into this carafe, but it stays hot for like over an hour. So that was the first thing where we were like, that's a nice little surprise treat. The second thing came when my sister went to program the machine to have coffee ready in the morning before we came downstairs. So she like did all the stuff you do before you program it to make coffee, and it just like wouldn't go. And it put up this little icon of the coffee carafe. It knew that there was coffee in the carafe that had not been drank, and therefore just said, nope, you will not be programming me to make coffee in the morning, because if you do, I'm going to put all this coffee in the carafe and there's already coffee in it and it's going to overflow. And I have no idea how it knows that there was still coffee in there unless there's like a scale.
It must have a scale on it. I tell you what, that would be real nice. Definitely done that before where I've brewed coffee on top of a day old stale coffee. And I tell you what, that's real disappointing when you don't have time to brew a replacement pot.
Yeah. And it was just like this little tiny thing where I was like, okay, I understand why this costs $200 instead of $25. And also it just looks pretty. And like, it's just, have you seen Devs?
Yeah.
Okay. So like, as it makes coffee, I kind of get the same feeling. I get looking at that supercomputer in Devs that just like looks pretty, just sitting there and doing computery things. It like has this tube in the middle. It pulls up water. You can see the water getting pulled up. It's such a dumb little thing that's making me so happy in these shitty times.
Huh. That's nice. That's good. I can appreciate that. I've been thinking about maybe possibly kind of trying to do AeroPress Espresso.
Oh, yeah. I've never done that, but I like the normal AeroPress. What's different from normal AeroPress?
You are asking a great question there, and I have not done enough research. I was trying to find YouTube videos about it earlier, but then I got distracted and didn't actually watch any of the YouTube videos about it. So
you got distracted from your distraction?
Yeah. So ultimately, what I came to realize is that it's going to cost me $30 for the AeroPress and then, you know, $120 for a good grinder. And ultimately, I just don't think I need to spend that money right now while I'm trying to move across the country.
Oh, yeah. Where are you guys? Well, I don't know if this is like something you want to talk about, but did your offer actually go through?
So we got a text from our realtor this morning where she said that there is likely an offer coming through and that we'll have the details tomorrow. So I haven't heard anything new yet, but we'll see.
Yeah. Awesome. Hope it works out. Where my, again, sister and brother-in-law, they're like house hunting right now. I'm like, is this when you want to be house hunting? Maybe you're like geniuses. Maybe it's the greatest time because anything that's on the market, people are like desperate to sell. But,
and I mean, for interest rates, it's a hell of a time to be buying. But
yeah,
you know, there's a lot of logistics that goes into moving. And when unemployment is at record rates and you're trying to find a new job and time that so that you can move and start the new job all at the same time, that's difficult.
Yeah, that sucks. That sucks real bad.
So it's going to be interesting to see whether we can actually pull off the magic trick or not.
Well, I hope you do, because I can't imagine trying to sell a house right now. As someone who's gone through it in the last year, just doing it under like normal circumstances, it was stressful enough.
Oh, yeah.
Having showings and like, are there people in your house?
Well, we've been doing showings since December.
Okay.
And even now with quarantine and all this, we're still averaging about 2 showings a week.
So you're like letting people come into your house.
Yeah.
Strangers.
Yeah, because we got to get this sold.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that sucks, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's one of those just really annoying things where it's just like, oh, I guess we just clean our doorknobs better than normal and we hope they don't touch too much stuff.
I guess we made the dumb decision to like get pregnant 11 months ago and have a baby when this whole thing was starting.
You really should have thought that through better.
Yeah, it was, you know, when you're in the heat at the moment and you're just like, I don't know, let's just do it one more time. It's not, pandemic is the last thing on your mind.
What are the odds that in 8 months the entire country?
What are the odds? What could happen? We'll just have the baby and everything will be cool.
Yeah, no. I don't feel like that was maybe your most fortunate timing that you've ever stumbled into.
It's cool. He's home now and he's a little snuggle nugget. The worst thing about this baby is that he does not want to be put down ever, ever, ever. Like, you put him down and his eyes open wide and he's like, what the fuck? You were just holding me. This was great. Pick me up. I'm not sleeping on this flat, soft, comfortable surface you put me on. I must be held at all times.
I mean, I guess if you look at it as a persistent upper body workout, it's not as awful.
Oh, no, you can do it sitting down. Like, you could just like pass out on a sofa or bed and just like drape him on top of you. And he's cool with that. Yeah, that's what we've been doing. I want to know about another thing that you Googled. So I feel like everything else on your list, I don't want to spoil things, but like, I feel like I can kind of extrapolate everything, but I can't extrapolate Moon Over Greymore.
Sure. So Moon Over Greymore is a one-shot D&D campaign.
You're speaking my language. Continue.
So recently, we met up with a new group of online friends to play D&D one-shots. And we had our first session where we played through Moon Over Greymore. It took us 5.5 hours, maybe. It was an ungodly amount of time, and we went to bed way too late. And next time, we'll just split up into 2 sessions. But it was a fun little like murder mystery campaign. And I tell you what, I have gotten real good at taking notes in OneNote. And DMs do not love that when they have not meticulously prepared every detail.
Oh, who's your DM?
our DM, oh, what's his name? He's not a guy I really know well outside of this group.
Gotcha. So this is just like kind of a pickup game situation?
Yeah, yeah. So it's through the like Dubai Friday Dungeons and Dragons Discord. James is our current DM over there. I haven't really talked to him much outside of this game, but it was a fun game. I think it's the first time he's run this campaign. And we were taking such extensive notes that we were constantly calling him out on like little contradictions because, you know, we were told it's a murder mystery. So, of course, we're taking extensive notes.
Right. You got to Poirot that shit.
But then he's sitting there going, well, this isn't what I expected you to like do a super deep dive on.
Look, I said something. I didn't expect you to remember it using cheating, like writing things down. How dare you?
And then we're just fact-checking his improvs, which nobody wants.
No, no, no. The thing you want in an improv show is when someone goes, yes, and you, somebody from the audience stands up with their index finger pointed in the air and go, actually, in the last scene, you said.
So there was a lot of just like, you know, he says that one thing happens and we go, but wait a second, if that happened, then how did this other thing happen earlier? Because wouldn't that be directly contradictory?
And then he goes, there's dragons in this game and you can like be a wizard, but this is what you're upset about.
Well, and basically what it is we just ended up kind of like forcing his hand a couple times so that he had to tip off that something that we've been chasing after wasn't relevant. Because if it had been relevant, he wouldn't be contradicting himself.
Interesting. Let me hit you with this. Tell me everything about your character because I really want to know.
Oh, boy. I did not like my character, and I am respecking him for our next run.
Was this a character just for the one shot, or do you have like a persistent character that you're playing?
This is a character that I'm going to be using for a bunch of one shots, I think. I named him Brannery Flan.
Okay.
He's a...
F-L-A-N? Flan?
Yep. And he is a gnome warlock.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
And he's like a super religious, grumpy little fuckhead.
Is he old?
No, not old enough. Not old enough to be as like grumpy and religious as he is. No.
Oh, I like that. I've taken to only building D&D characters as jokes now, and like I don't know how to do it any other way. I think we talked about this before, but I made my wife a character, and I basically forced her to play with us, and I named her character Trimalier Fracture, which was at the time the type of broken ankle injury that she had. And before that, for a one shot, I created a rogue named Crimes Johnson, and his name is Crimes. He got the nickname that way because he just did so many crimes. People just started calling him Crimes. And then like the first one I made was serious, but I've already turned that one into a massive joke as well.
Yeah, I think it's really easy to start with the best intentions. And it sounds like you've managed to perfectly dodge right past that and start with the worst intentions, as it should be.
Yeah, no, you start out by being an asshole, and then when you do something like genuine and heartfelt and like in good faith in the game, people are like, huh, look at how they've grown.
Yeah, no, I'm still at the point where I'm making sincere characters.
Well, you'll get there.
But they're all sincere characters with heavy chaotic streaks, because I don't think I know how to play in any way other than chaotic.
There's lawful.
I don't think I could do it.
You just follow the rules. Just be cool, man.
See, I get...
Just follow the rules.
I get that there's like, you know, a part of D&D is being able to act and inhabit a character that isn't yourself. But there's just something so tempting about being a complete jerkwad who ruins everything for everyone. And I can't resist.
I get it. It's like you're given a sandbox and all these toys and someone says, you must put the blocks in this order. And you go, but there's a whole sandbox here and all these blocks. And like, what if I made a big ding dong shape out of these blocks? And the person in charge is like, no, don't do that. And you're like, is there anything to stop me? And they're like, well, I guess not. So like, what else are you going to do?
It's like that. But instead of making a ding dong shape out of blocks, it's everybody's talking about whether or not the door is probably trapped. And I'm throwing my hands up in the air and just opening the fucking door.
Oh, OK. Yeah. I mean, that's D&D. That's the way you do it.
Anyway, my next question for you, and I know that you've got this one just teed up and ready to go. Tell me about Crokinole.
Crokinole is the greatest game. First of all, thank you for asking. Second of all, Crokinole is the greatest game ever invented. My birthday is coming up, and I think I was, for the first time maybe since I was a child, knew exactly what I wanted for my birthday. And that is this game called Crokinole that I played at PAX Unplugged, which is like a tabletop board game convention. And it's a what you would call like a dexterity game where you're like flicking things around a board. The board, if you want to imagine it, it's like a bullseye where the second innermost ring has these like rubberized pegs around it. And you are flicking discs trying to get as close to the center as possible while your opponent is trying to like knock your discs away. And it doesn't sound engaging, but it is, it's all made out of wood. It's all like handmade out of wood. And like the feeling when you flick a disc and it goes exactly where you want and it like knocks the other person's disc out and your disc stays exactly where it's supposed to. Man, that it's like a little dopamine shot right into your brain. So I dropped probably 10 too many hints, and my wife and my sister and my cousin pooled together and got me this really beautiful Crokinole board. And so again, my birthday is a week and a half from now. The board came a week ago and it showed up at our doorstep. I saw the label, I picked it up, and I go to my wife and I was like, if this is my birthday present, I want to open this right now. And she was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, Stop playing games. We are quarantined. There are four people in my house who can play this game with me that I've been wanting to play since November. And you just like, I cannot play it because it's a big, I mean, like the diameter, the board is must be 3.5 feet in diameter, maybe more. It's like an unwieldy thing. And she was like, all right, fine. You can open it tonight. So I did. And I've got my Crokinole board and I'm so, so happy with it. And I think it should be the national sport of this country because it's the greatest game ever invented.
So when you first mentioned it a few days ago, I definitely did some searching around and I watched some videos. And it seems like it's some sort of cross between like scaled down curling or shuffleboard combined with that game where you fold up the paper into the triangles and you play football with it by flicking it across the table at your friends.
Yeah, paper football. It's a lot like that.
So yeah, no, this definitely looks like the type of thing that I would be 100% into. And then I started looking at boards and this looks like the type of shit that like Wormwood would make.
Yeah, they're like I said, everything from what if you want like a legit board, I don't think I found any that weren't handmade. There are people that like they're real talented woodworkers and they just make these boards for a living and they're gorgeous.
So I'm not gonna, you know, completely blow up your wife's game here, but if an average person were to go, oh yeah, I should get a board, this sounds like fun, this sounds like something I would want to do, do you have a recommended vendor that they should be looking towards?
So when I played it for the first time, I'm gonna have to double check this before I. I wanna double check that this is right. Here we go. So when I played for the first time, I was lucky enough to play with this guy who makes boards, and I believe his name is Tracy Tour. TRACEYTOUR, and his site is Crokinole, CROCKINOLE, gameboards.com. And at this convention, he brought these boards that he had made and was selling them. He had like 10 to sell, and they were like tournament used, so they weren't brand new, perfect out of the box. So he was selling them like, you know, 30% less than you would buy them on the site. Yeah, that's probably, if I was buying a brand new board, where I would buy it from. I don't believe my wife bought it from there because I wasn't so overbearing that I was like, I would like a Crokinole board and here's where I would like you to buy it from, because I have just a modicum of self-awareness, not a ton.
See, this is the problem that Mel runs into when she tries to buy me gifts, is I'll drop a lot of hints and I'll drop enough hints that she knows, oh, I can't buy that for him because I know that he knows enough about it that he has a specific version that he wants and there's no way I can guess that.
I would like Mel to talk to my wife because she was just like, it's probably fine. I'll just buy this one I found on Amazon. And it was fine in this instance. It was. It's great. I love it. I look at it and she looks at me. She's like, you're thinking about playing Crokinole right now, aren't you? And I'm like, no, but I absolutely am.
So hit me with that sticker shock. If we're looking at like a generic, like handcrafted, I guess not generic, but like a decent handcrafted board, what are we looking at for cost?
Like $200 to $350.
That's not awful.
It's one game, I guess, because I'm used to like board games where you're paying like $50 a board game.
Sure, but see, this strikes me as like the type of game that like a church youth group would have in their youth room, where like a lot of them have. So like a lot of churches in their youth rooms will have, what's that game called where it's got like a really long carpet ball. It's called carpet ball, where basically you just bowl a pool ball down and try to knock off the balls that the other player has set up on their side.
Are you talking about bocce?
No.
Have Midwestern church groups taken bocce and rebranded it as carpet ball?
Well, bocce, from what I'm seeing in a quick Google search, because I'm not that familiar with it, looks like it's very large scale.
Yeah, it's like a whole, not like a whole backyard, but pretty big.
But carpet ball is played on what it essentially amounts to like a 9-foot long skinny pool table.
Okay, a little bocce.
I mean, more or less.
Yeah, I would say it's like that, where like, I picture this as something, being an East Coast Jew who's never been to a church youth group, I was thinking of this as something like something you would find in like a ski lodge or like that kind of scenario.
Oh, yeah. No, that's definitely the same vibe. Yeah. Not that I know, given that I've set foot in ski lodges like twice in my life.
We should do a Perfect Strangers. This is my second Perfect Strangers reference. I'm contractually obligated to drop 2 Perfect Strangers references in every episode. We should do a Perfect Strangers episode where it's like, here's all the things you don't know about, and here's all the things I don't know about.
I gotta be straight with you, man. I am only vaguely aware of what Perfect Strangers is.
Oh, you sweet, sweet baby. You slept through all the 1980s and some of the early 1990s.
Slept through?
You were, whatever, not conceived, slept. Oh, well, you didn't miss much, except for where these references are coming from, but...
I did watch Cheers, if I get any points for that.
Ooh, Cheers is good. I rewatched. I didn't watch Cheers when it was on, but I watched it on Netflix, and it's a good, it's like a sitcom. Yeah, it does hold up. So anyway, Crokinole, if you can get your hands on a Crokinole board, highly suggest play this game. It is so good. And when you do, you're absolutely going to find yourself Googling things like, oh, I forgot to prepare this. Hold on. I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to read every Crokinole query I've made in the last, let's just call this 7 days. Okay. Crokinoleboards.com, Crokinole Sunglow, Crokinole Powder, Carom Powder, Crokinole, Crokinole Match Play, Crokinole Tournament Rules, Crokinole Sunglow, Cape Fear, Crokinole, Cape Fear Board, Crokinole Slow, Crokinole Board, Crokinole Rules, Mr. Crokinole Powder, Gliss Powder, Crokinole, Crokinole Lubricant. End of list.
Wonderful. And I'm not going to ask any more details because, quite frankly, I don't want to know them.
Yeah, it's... I don't blame you. All right, what are we at here? 40. Should we do one more each? You think we got time for that?
Let's shoot for one more each.
All right, man. I want to do your one that's dark, but also don't.
I mean, how deep into like COVID do you want to go?
I'm in a kind of good mood, so.
Yeah, so let's just go ahead and fuck that up.
Let's go ahead and, yeah, fuck that up real bad. Nursing home bodies. Asterisk, warning, colon, dark, in all caps, asterisk.
So there was this New York Times article from, I guess, almost half a month ago now, 2 weeks ago, that the headline was, after anonymous tip, 17 bodies found at nursing home hit by virus.
So
where basically cool. The article talks about how they got an anonymous tip that there were bodies being stored in a shed.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they went there, they found 17 bodies piled up in a small morgue that was intended to hold 4 people.
So wait, was it a shed or a morgue?
I'm not 100% sure on the details on that. It's possible it's both.
It's a morgue shed.
Morgue shed.
And people's grandpappy and and Meemaws are there.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I'm doing the thing. I'm rubbing my eyes and just being so exasperated. I was so... I felt like I'd really just gotten over the hump of the everything is terrible, but it's cool.
Well, they wrote a follow-up article, if it helps.
All right. Turns out some of them weren't dead.
The follow-up article is 29 dead no at one nursing home from the virus. Or more, no one will say.
How do you not know? Just count how many dead old grannies there are. This is bad. I don't know why you do this to me.
Yeah, so we actually know someone who has like a professional association with that home. And she's just like, this is bad.
Yeah. Yeah, hiding dead bodies, almost never good.
Almost never.
Now I'm trying to think, why is it almost? And like one situation where hiding dead bodies is maybe fine. But it's just not coming. It's just not coming to me.
All I can think about is like, yeah, no, I'm not quite there. I'm almost there.
So did you like, is there any silver lining in all this?
No. No. It's just
everything is bad.
Nursing homes, it's just nursing homes around the nation, turns out, are hotbeds of infection, and people are dying at record rates, and nothing is being done to make it any better.
Yeah, it's almost like when you put at-risk people and they're all in the same place near each other and you don't really do anything to prevent the people interacting with them from infecting them. It's going to be god-awful.
I suspect that this is exactly the same as what's happening with the current prison population.
Mm-hmm.
With the difference being that, at least in the prisons, there would be a pretty clear way to fix the problem, which is to reduce the prison population pretty significantly and immediately.
Yeah. How are you going to be that old, though?
Well,
have they tried not being old?
We can't release this episode. Jesus Christ.
This is now, I'm going to just, since you've started me down this dark path, I guess I'll walk down it with you. I guess I'm happy that I don't have any living grandparents, because I don't know how I would cope.
Oh, yeah. Big same. Big same.
And my grandmother, my last living grandmother when she was alive, lived in not a nursing home, but like a, I don't know what they would call it. It was like you couldn't live there unless you were old. And they had like a nurse come by like twice a week. And if you needed to see the nurse, you could see the nurse.
So just like a retirement facility, not necessarily a nursing home.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. It was run by like Jewish Federation of Philadelphia, which seems.
Sure.
You know, next week you're going to hear me come on and talk about how Jewish Federation of Philadelphia is actually run by monsters, because I'm definitely going to look into that.
I mean, anything with Federation in their name automatically starts in the negative for me.
What about Star Trek?
I mean.
Boom.
See, I haven't watched enough Star Trek to have a good riff there.
Oh, it's, you know, it's Star Trek. The Federation is like. Good. It's a post-scarcity society, and the Federation says, go do some cool shit. And that's kind of the whole directive.
Huh. Anyway, where were we?
We were down the deep, dark path.
All right, dead grandparents. So go ahead and tell me, I'm looking at your sheet, and I'm seeing, assume, dear dead tweet. This sounds vaguely familiar to me. Like, it's a tweet that I know I've seen, but I cannot for the life of me remember what it is.
Okay. This is an all-timer. I think I was at my first job, out of college, 2012. Picture it. It's October 2012. Me, Jason. At my first job out of college, my friend comes up to my cube and goes, holy shit, I have to show you something. Do you know who Chuck Grassley is? And this is in DC at the time.
Oh, yes.
So Chuck Grassley, one of the absolute.
As someone who grew up in Iowa, I feel like I should have immediately pegged this as being Grassley.
Yeah. So Chuck Grassley is a U.S. senator from Iowa. I guess I just go straight to it. Like, there's no setup, because I think people listening to this should live through this as I lived through it as a young 20 something in Washington, D.C. He sends me this link, and it's Chuck Grassley's Twitter, and it just says this. This is October 25th, 2012, 9:13 p.m. Fred and I hit a deer on Highway 136 south of Dyersville. After I pulled fender rubbing on tire, We continue to farm, period. Assume deer dead. End of tweet.
Okay.
The reason I Googled this is because every once in a while it just pops into my head and I go, this guy's a fucking senator. And he put this on Twitter and he's still a goddamn senator.
I would like to ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
Can you read the second sentence of that tweet for me one more time?
Yeah. Okay. After I pulled fender rubbing on tire, we continued to farm. Period.
Okay, that was it.
Assumed you're dead. Assumed you're dead. Assumed you're dead. Like,
this guy's a senator, and that's the best he can write.
He didn't have... I agree with you that that sentence is not English, but also to follow that with... Like, there's so many things I want to talk about with this. Okay, not... You don't start with, you know, it's so fucking stupid. to end this tweet, I hit a deer. Okay, here's where it happened. Okay, here's what I did to the car. Okay. And then to not even end assume deer dead with a period, you couldn't say, the deer... maybe we killed a deer, maybe we didn't, who knows? But like the lack of... any sort of remorse, like remorse is so far out of this universe. It's like we hit this fucking animal with our car. I don't know. I guess I'll tweet about it and also how we fixed our car. Oh, by the way, the deer is almost certainly dead. If you were wondering, which you probably were. Now, hold on. I haven't looked at this tweet in a long time, but I do have a follow up.
I am currently reading through the replies.
Yeah. 2 days later, he tweets. Followers legitimately asked about condition of deer, D-E-A-R, that attacked our Prius. 3 or 4 spaces, no period. I didn't HV, assume have, a flashlight to check on critter.
Okay, so let's be clear here. A deer... has never once been a critter.
No, squirrels are critters. Raccoons are critters. Okay. What's the biggest critter?
I don't know where the line is.
I have a line.
And I think it's okay to not know where the line is. But I can tell you for damn sure, the deer isn't near the line.
It's somewhere between groundhog and deer. Oh, this shouldn't be funny.
Critters scurry.
Deer are majestic.
Critters scurry. Deer do not scurry.
Deer are majestic. They prance in the wood and they drink water from clear, cool brooks. And they eat grass and they're very pretty and they have large, innocent eyes. And
now, in Grassley's defense, they do also run out into the road and fuck up your car.
I mean, yeah, but raccoons eat your trash like little bandits and. They're adorable.
What raccoons are doing is a service. It's a public service. They are trash disposal. They are making sure that nothing goes to waste.
You ever see a raccoon eat raccoon with cotton candy, dip it in water, and it goes away?
Hell yeah.
That's really cute. Assume raccoon dead.